by the way, we're talking about the heat. Today is hot enough for you today. My friend Ken Mulligan, he's the associate professor of political science, SIU, and our guest this morning. First off, it's good to see you again.
Well, thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
We're going to have to stop meeting every week. I know I'm asking a lot of your time, but with the things that are going on right now. So, a master class in American presidential elections?
Oh, there's so much here. Yeah, where do you want to start?
Biden resigning on Sunday.
Okay. Well, of course, that's very unusual. The last time that's happened was 1968, and it was different then because it was much earlier in the year. So this is kind of a scramble time for Democrats to choose a new nominee.
You know, speaking with Comptroller Susana Mendoza at this time, said if they were going to do this over his age, it should have been a year ago.
I'm still baffled by that. I agree. It's a little odd because, I mean, some of the problems, well, the reasons that he pulled himself out of the race, they're not new. And so it does make it more difficult going forward for the Democrats.
When Quinnipiac poll, 62% believe Biden dropping out of the presidential race was the right thing to do.
There was so much pressure, and most Democrats think that. And from what I read, there were a number of high profile Democrats that were planning to up the pressure just this week. So it kind of looked like he almost didn't have a choice.
And then the donors.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a mass of support for him pulling out, and he finally decided to go along with that.
You know, what's interesting with the donors, they were saying they were holding their money, and the minute he quit, they gave. So then they go on and say, we've raised the most money ever, right? That kind of thing. So you've got that going back and forth, some of these big donors, but you have the absence of Barack Obama endorsing. While in the state of Illinois, you've got a list.
Well, you know, and I was one of the people who said that he probably won't drop out. And part of the reason for that is it seems to me.
He said he wouldn't unless the good Lord told him.
Well, so. There you go. And also, I think for Democrats, the situation is be careful what you ask for. Because in my view, it's not necessarily better for them going forward with Harris over Biden. Could be, and they're hoping that she is. But it still remains to be seen.
All right. Now, here's the issue with polls. And I know you like to do average. Now, to get a chance, you can see where I was working on the averages here. But when it comes to a polling roundup, just going to hit some of these. But they were all taken before the resignation. So I don't know that these are good poll numbers. But you got Trump, Kamala, 49, 38, 51, 43, 44, 36, 44, 37, 37, 30, 49, 43. But as I said, these were all before she was actually the candidate, which was the case as of last night. Delegates secured the support of, according to the AP survey, of 1,976 delegates she'll need to win the first ballot. This, according to the Associated Press, while in the state of Illinois, during the primary election, he received 91.5% of the vote.
Yeah, so as you're suggesting, over the last 12 hours or so, or in the last 12 hours or so, she does seem to have the support of a majority of the delegates she needs to win the nomination. So that's great for her. It's probably great for the party, too, politically going forward. Just mentioning really quickly on the polling situation, you're right, there hasn't been enough polling to really make a decision about or to make a judgment. But
one that I found.
Yeah. Well,
after
I found one, too. Yeah. Although there was an Ipsos one that I read about in The Hill. And the upshot of that, again, it's just one poll. Don't read a lot into it. But to me, the takeaway from that is that her position right now is pretty much the same as Biden's was going into the debate.
49% Trump, Harris 47% in the Quinnipiac poll of voters, about 1,600 registered voters says, I will vote. What was your Ipsos poll? Do you remember off the top of your head?
What I remember from that is it was like a 1 point different from what you're saying, Trump slightly ahead. Also, I think that they had some data from battleground states. I'm a little iffy on that, but from what I've read thus far, it's a 1 or 2 point different. Pretty much the same as it was with Biden. Trump has a little bit of a lead, it looks like, in battleground states. So that's kind of where she starts. And presumably she might get a bit of a bump from just being the new person who's taking over. She might get the benefit of the doubt. That's what Democrats are hoping for. And so we'll kind of see where this goes.
All right. Now, we're going to see some things said back and forth, but want to get into that in a couple of moments. But the fact is, there's a credibility issue from the very people that are endorsing Harris, who said Joe Biden's one of the sharpest guys you'll ever meet. He works relentlessly. Right now, they all said this, and they're the same ones with both hands on his back pushing him out the door. That credibility gap in not only politics but also media, I think, is that's one of the biggest casualties to date, if you don't count Donald Trump's right ear.
Yes, I agree, especially with respect to the media, and I do media. I was and am shocked by how quickly they turned on Biden. I mean, they had been ignoring his dementia issues for a long time, and then all of a sudden they were leading the charge to kick him out. But that's kind of a side topic. At this point, it does make sense to kind of focus on the race. Which way is the presidential election going to go? And if I were a Democrat, I'd still be concerned about this, because in terms of what she brings to the table, in terms of issues and things like that, I don't see her as having an advantage over Biden. The dementia issue has been neutralized, but there's still a lot of other issues that Democrats need to be concerned about.
Well, I mean, not the first person, after watching some of the pundits last night, saying, what has she done? And say, look, she was the border czar that never went to the border.
Right. And the media is trying to walk that back and saying, well, she was never the border czar. But Biden gave her that portfolio, and it didn't go well by all accounts. And right now, the most important issue in the country, according to voters, is immigration by a lot. She's highlighting her positions and her work on abortion. And among Democrats, that is an important issue. But having looked at the most recent polling data on that from Gallup, immigration is the top issue. The economy is the second most important issue in that basket of issues in the economy. Abortion is pretty far down the list. It's the most important issue for about 3% of voters. And you can bet that those people are voting for Harris anyway.
Right. So that she was preaching to the choir to begin with.
I think so.
You know, when it comes to this credibility on other issues, she doesn't have a lot. You know, that's one of the problems, because she did not poll well during much of the 3.5 years Joe Biden was the president. So to some extent, they kind of kept her hidden because she had a tendency to undermine what was going on around. She kept making these statements that you couldn't follow.
Yeah, you know, and it's almost, this is feels a little like parlor talk, what I'm about to say, but I almost feel like Democrats would have been better picking one of the lesser known people, like Josh Hawley, the governor of Pennsylvania, or even Gavin Newsom, who's been having issues of his own, because at least Harris is a known quantity. Voters already know her, and her popularity is no greater than Biden's or Trump's popularity. And so if they had picked somebody who was a little lesser known, that could actually help them in this point. I don't think that her is the nominee of the Democratic candidate, and that's what's going to happen now, is going to change a whole lot in this race relative to Biden beyond his cognitive abilities.
You know, it's interesting, in the reference to people saying we didn't vote for Kamala, nobody voted for her, but other than she was on the ticket with Biden. But, you know, the head of the Illinois Election Board came out yesterday in an interview, and there was a quote, you know, talking about 91.5% of Illinois voters voted for Biden in the primary, and said, you know, it's a presidential preference primary. It's not an election. It's a presidential preference primary.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the first time I've ever in almost 50 years heard that term.
When you look under the hood of the primary process, it's maybe not what a lot of people think. People think that when you go and you vote in a primary, you're voting for Joe Biden. You're voting for Donald Trump. You're not actually doing that. You're voting for a delegate who has pledged to support that candidate at the convention. But if that candidate drops out, all bets are off, as you're saying. And now the convention delegates in Chicago in a few weeks can support whichever candidate they want. At this point, a majority seem to have lined up behind Kamala Harris.
You know, it's interesting. One of our listeners, Denny, sent this note in this morning from Heron. He says, you know, if Biden had stayed in, but some unforeseen issues had to resign after or early voting had started, could those voters have been able to vote again? No, I don't think the answer to that is no.
No, that would have been a mess, but I don't think so either.
So you can't have another primary?
No, you can't. The primaries are over, and there's not enough time anyway.
All right. So what's next? I guess waiting for the vice presidential announcement for the Harris campaign.
Yes. I can make some guesses about that. You want to go first?
Well, I was going to ask the probability of J.B. Pritzker, but I've not seen his name in the pool in published stories. I really haven't. It's been more about Newsom and other governors, including Beshear.
Yes, I've seen Pritzker's name mentioned among some possibilities, and Beshear. I think both of those governors, though, are unlikely to be picked. If Harris is rational about who she chooses, she'll choose somebody who will help her get elected president, right? And so that would be someone from a swing state who could put her over the top in that swing state. Governor Whitmer in Michigan has taken herself out, it seems like.
Well, she's running the Harris campaign as of yesterday afternoon.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe that was a bluff.
I saw that. Well, actually, I heard it this morning, early morning radio out of New York City. As officially as last night, Gretchen Whitmer's taking over the campaign.
All right. Well, I saw her in a video clip say straight up she's not interested in leaving Michigan. So, but candidates do things that we don't say.
2 weeks
they
ago,
change their mind.
I won't leave unless God tells me to, unless Lord Almighty tells me to, and then he does.
Other possibilities. Beshear would be interesting, but there's no way Harris is going to carry Kentucky. I mean, it would take, you know, a Biden-esque act of God for that to happen.
Now, in fact, that Beshear's a governor in Kentucky still surprises.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if it were possible, then yes. Then I think the most likely candidate would probably be Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has been described as a must-win state for Biden. I think it is probably now for Harris. Gavin Newsom, I'm not sure why she would pick him. At least he doesn't bring anything electorally to
the table. She's from California, so it'd be redundant.
Yeah, it would be. Roy Cooper from North Carolina. North Carolina is a traditionally red state. Obama flipped it to blue in 2008. It, I don't think, has been red since then. If she could turn North Carolina, that would be huge. Seems unlikely. The governor, or the senator from Arizona, has been mentioned. I think Mark Kelly. Biden barely won Arizona 4 years ago. If she could win it, Biden was running behind in Arizona. If she could win Arizona, then Kelly would help, then that would be a possibility too.
Hey, Ken, I appreciate you coming in. Final thought this morning before I let you go. There was an initial shock. I'm not going to say it's shock. Okay, you know, the realization, the release, we've gotten here, because they were saying last Friday he'll quit on Sunday. Well, he did. I haven't heard much from him since. He called into one of Harris's bits, even one of our listeners now wondering if that was him. You know, I mean, what are you waiting for next? We talked about the vice presidential candidate, but this race got a lot more interesting Sunday.
Let me just throw this out there and relates to what you're asking. So part of the way that Biden part of the way that Biden was able to downplay his cognitive issues was through what the major media described as a shaming campaign of the White House to put down anybody who even brought it up. All that went away after the debate. Now they're doing the same thing to try to shame people who say that he should step down as president. It doesn't make rational sense to me that he can not be the candidate, but can be president, unless you're thinking several years ahead. I think the best thing for the Harris campaign would be that if he were to step down as president, she becomes president and starts doing the things that she's campaigning on. That could at least get her some attention and give her a chance to have some real power. However, that
you
hasn't
just
happened.
Scared the crap out of a bunch of
people. I know. That would make it interesting.
Ken Mulligan. Ken, he's associate professor of political science, SIU. It's good to see you again, Chief.
Thank you. Same here.